Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, April 10th. Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. You seem all happy and...
I am. It's, yeah. I don't know. I woke up really just in a good mood today. I posted this on Facebook, but I spoke to Disney Studios this morning just about a future job or something that big. But and everyone I spoke to that was putting me through to someone else said, have a magical day.
Wow.
Aw, that's such a good feeling, you know?
Yeah,
have a magical day.
True.
It's like, I will have a magical day. Thank you. So it really just put me in a really good mood.
Yeah, you see how they think about all these things. It's cool, you know, when they run a company.
Completely.
And all the little things and stuff. But you see, you remembered it.
Yeah.
It made your day. Wow.
I know. It reminded me of when I would go to Disney when I was younger and just brought back really good memories. And
wow.
I really just appreciate it. Have a magical day.
Yeah, that's true.
I will.
True.
Thank you. You too.
Exactly. Yeah. And give me the job too. I'll feel really magical then, right?
Then it'll be even better.
Yeah. There you go. You know. So this is cool. Is it going to be something fun for you if you do it?
No, I'll just be red carpet stuff different company. So it's not through Disney. But but hopefully everything works out with that. So
yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah. But it's a lot of... I think I spoke to like 15 different people.
Wow.
But trying to get through to the right person, I hate that on phone.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Have a magical day just kept me in a good mood. Usually I'm impatient and hang up.
Yeah, after
like,
were.
Yeah, after persistent. Like the sixth person, I'm like, okay, this is not okay. The fact that you guys don't know who to put me through, like, oh, it's driving me crazy. But the have a magical day kept me...
Kept you going.
Kept me going.
Wow.
And I was like... Aw. And it was, without a doubt, every single one of them. Because I don't know. I feel like sometimes I might forget to say that. Well, I guess if you say it to every person. But I feel like some people would forget or some people wouldn't want to say it. But every person said it. And they said it so happily. And it just made me happy.
Well, maybe they're happy to be working there.
Yeah.
You know,
I would love to work for Disney. Like,
really?
What a cool company. And then you get Disney tickets to
That's
go to the
true,
theme
huh?
parks. Like the best part of the job.
That's true. But how many times can you go?
Oh, I could go a lot.
Could you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Especially Disney World in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's where you should work, if it's a place that makes you feel good and stuff.
That's
you know?
True.
Yeah, but don't go wearing a costume or something.
No.
Of those characters, man.
No,
that's
I won't be doing that.
Ever.
Maybe Minnie Mouse, but no.
That's the worst job ever, to be stuck in that thing.
And especially in this heat.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
They must be, like, dripping with sweat.
I know. Some people are desperate for jobs. You know, they'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I'm excited for it's going to be a good weekend. I'm going camping for the first time ever this weekend. We're leaving like tomorrow late afternoon and coming back Sunday. And
are you going somewhere far?
It's 5 hours north. We're going to Big Sur.
Big Sur is beautiful.
I've heard it's absolutely stunning.
Right.
But I'm really nervous.
Really?
I get my nails done. I get my
for
hair
camping,
dyed.
Right?
Like. No, just in general, this is what I do. I just don't think that I'm the camping kind.
Right.
I don't know. Bugs, I hate bugs. Like but I'm not, I don't mind, like, I'm going to have fun, but I just don't.
You'll be like in a tent or something?
Yeah, in a tent. Yeah.
Yeah, that should be fun. So where are you going to camp, like on the beach or something there?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea. We're meeting some people up there.
Oh,
and they
okay.
booked
nice.
Everything. So.
Yeah. It's only 5 hours if you drive along the coast, you know? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you're not in a hurry to get there. You know, I mean, that's part of the nice trip.
Exactly,
taking the Pacific Coast Highway and just driving up.
I'm looking and seeing. I'm really excited. I mean, pretty views are one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Like, I love just watching a sunset, looking, and even just being on the beach. I'm happy because it's just so beautiful.
That's true.
I just love views.
Yeah.
So I know I'm going to enjoy it, but I'm also not a big hiker.
Right.
And the people we're meeting are huge hikers.
Oh, my God.
So I just...
You're not going to be in your element. I hope you enjoy yourself.
I know. Last night I bought a lot of beer and a lot of cookies.
Oh, okay. So. No camping equipment, but beer and cookies. No.
But I am nervous. I mean, all my friends, when I told them I was going camping, they're like, Charlotte, you are not a camper. And I'm like, how do I like wash my hair? And they're like, just don't. Like,
yeah,
just,
you
you're
don't
going
wash
for two
your
days. You really don't need to.
Yeah, you're probably thinking like of every minute of what you're going to do, right? Like, how am
I am.
What clothes to take? How am I going to take a shower?
Oh, completely. Yeah. I have no idea what to pack.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be in the 60s, so it's colder there. And especially at night, it's going to drop down.
That's true, yeah. I think you like it. You know, I mean, there's nothing like being out in nature. I haven't camped in years, you know, but from what I remember, it's a lot of fun, you know. I should start doing that more. I always talk about it, but I don't.
Yeah.
But today, people like camp in luxuries. They take RVs and
completely
stuff, you know.
See, that would be more my alley.
Yeah,
like
I know.
I would love, there's nothing more I would love to do than a cross-country trip.
Right.
And I would be fine doing it in just a normal car and sleeping in the car and just going to different places. I would be totally fine with that. I'm not high maintenance. I don't need five-star hotels. That's not me at all.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I can sleep with the bugs.
Yeah.
I'm just not a bug person. I really am not a bug person. But I've always wanted. I know a couple people that have done cross-country trips from Florida to California, and they've stayed in their car. They went to all the Breaking Bad sets where everything, the house that was used in Breaking Bad, and all these different places, the Grand Canyon, Las Vegas. I mean, I would love to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with sleeping in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Sleeping
that
in the car?
That doesn't bother me.
Wow. That's
but there's
cool.
something with staying outside that just kind of freaks me out. And you know, I've got in my head the movie, with Lindsay Lohan. She plays Parent Trap.
Oh, okay.
And they play a prank on her stepmom to be and put her air mattress in the ocean, in the river.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, God, someone's totally going to do that to me. Because like, I'm that one that doesn't, she was the one that was like, every time there was a bug. And that's, great. I'm going to get some pranks pulled off.
Well, you'll provide some entertainment, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It won't be boring, that's for sure.
Yeah, it won't be. And besides, you can always sleep in the car, right? If you have too many bugs.
I had thought of that. That is always the car if the bugs are too much.
Right.
And I don't, do they have bears up there or animals? Because I know coyotes are a big thing in California by the mountains. But
yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know where they're going to camp. If you're on the beach, then it's not a big deal at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not going to be any animals I can think of. But yeah, it depends. But look, maybe you're going with people that know what they're doing and where
they're
going, right? I'm sure they've been there before or something.
Or they're at least telling me they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's probably that way.
Well, entrust yourself to them and hope that they're good friends.
Yeah.
You know? Wow, that's funny. Yeah. Actually, I got to start making nice plans for the weekends, you know, because they're kind of quiet for me, you know, and I'd rather be a little more active and stuff. But this weekend, I'm going to be busy. We're moving into the new station and everything.
Yeah.
So that's going to be
an exciting weekend.
Me busy. Yeah. And a lot of obligations that I have to do, get my son another car and all that stuff. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's going to keep me busy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like money. It's like you can't stop thinking about it because it's all around you, you know?
Completely.
Enough with money already. God, you know, who's got it?
Completely, though. And everything just keeps going up in price.
Right.
Everything's getting more and more expensive.
It really is. I mean, cars are like really expensive now.
Yeah.
And
does he want a nice car or like
well,
a,
he does,
really
but he can't
car?
Afford one. So there you go.
That ends that.
Yeah. No, we have a phone call. We're waiting for a guest. I don't know if it's him or not because it's a little early, but let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello.
Yeah, Sam. Hey, this is Dr. Barczyk. I'm calling in for the radio show.
Yes, you are. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Louisiana.
It's a very clear line. It's awesome.
Yeah. Louisiana.
Well, I was told to call on a landline, so, you know, I do what I'm told.
Yeah, well, that's great. So you were in town a week or two ago, and you got sick. You were supposed to be on the show.
Yeah, I flew in. We flew in really late. Yeah. Our flight was delayed, and we were actually staying in Palos Verdes.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice.
And I was coming down with like a little sinus thing, and I didn't feel like, by the time I got up and got to you, I was going to get about 4 hours of sleep, and I didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
So. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, well, good. Well, at any rate, we're glad you're here now, and we finally got you on the phone and stuff, so hopefully you're feeling a lot better now.
Oh, yeah, feel good, man.
Awesome. So you've written a book. Let me just bring up your page. I'm sorry. Okay, you've written a book called Wellness Wake-Up Calls, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the book itself.
Well, it's kind of a thing that I decided that I wanted to do a couple of years ago. It's about 2 years in the making, and I'm a chiropractor by trade, and I have four offices in South Louisiana, and so I lecture people every day about how not to come see me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and how not to go to all doctors. Really, a whole lot is to take care of yourself better and eat right and have more activity. So I decided that it was time for me to stop telling people and write it down so everybody can read it. So it stems from 20 years of me being a doctor and my life experiences and what I've put together as far as research. And the book is pretty well referenced with medical journals on each chapter. Essentially what happens is we all know someone and love someone that's had a scary health event that more than likely could have been a catastrophe. So a lot of times a heart attack or a diagnosis of diabetes or you go to the doctor and you have high blood pressure and people go, okay, well, I guess I need to start watching what I'm eating and I need to start living better. So that really is a wellness wake-up call. But the premise of the book is we don't have to wait for these catastrophic moments to happen, because in order for a catastrophe to happen to the human body, we've ignored probably 100 little tiny signs that things were starting to break down.
Yeah.
So each one of my chapters is basically a little challenge to have the reader put the book down, try this, and then if you can't do whatever I'm challenging you to do, then you got a problem. This is how you kind of get around it and get to working on it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say, because you said that you would rather people didn't go to the doctor as much, or that's what you kind of teach, but also people that may have ignored different things that are going on with their body. Are you saying if you kind of do what your book's saying, you'll avoid the signs and avoid these illnesses?
For sure, yeah. I mean, listen, 75% of all medical costs, all healthcare costs in the United States are for preventable diseases, which means we're just not living right as a people. And I'm not advocating people not going to the doctor if they're not well. What I'm saying is the fact that you are not well or you have a disease process, there's a very great chance and a high probability that you have that disease process, partly at least because of the lifestyle that you're choosing to lead. So when the numbers are 75% of all costs are for preventable illnesses, that means we can do things to stop those things from happening.
That's
so
true.
Diabetes, adult onset diabetes is 100% self-created.
Really? Wow.
Right? It's diet, activity. Uh-huh. Now, there's a very small percentage of the population that have juvenile onset diabetes or type 1 diabetes. That means you're born without the ability to make insulin.
Right.
That's a medical problem you're born with. But the people that get it later in life, it's type 2. So it's we're eating too much, not moving enough, sitting on our tushes too much. It's completely lifestyle oriented, and it's a very costly disease to have.
That's true, yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I think our modern lifestyle is really unhealthy for the most part, you know, because of conveniences, you know, fast food, things like that. You know, we sit in cars, we sit at home, we sit in the office. We don't move as much as people used to.
That's exactly right. Actually, one of the chapters I talk about that, you covered two things, the movement part and the dietary part. So from a dietary standpoint, we're the second generation of people in America in particular that we don't prepare our own food, right? I mean, so in other words, back in the day when we were mostly an agricultural society, farmers got up, they ate whatever they wanted, right? They ate bacon and ham and biscuits and eggs, and it didn't really matter as much because they were going out and they were sweating for 12 hours and they were getting it all out of them, so they needed the energy. And as our economy evolved into an industrial economy, we're sitting more, we're sitting in air-conditioned space more, and we're not moving as much, and we're not preparing our own food, which means we have to buy the food from somebody else that prepares it, which means there's stuff in it that we don't know, right? We can't even pronounce the stuff that's in some of the food, but we still eat it. So the dietary chapter, the challenge is to go put the book down, go look at your pantry, and how many items do you have more than 10 items with labels on it in your pantry?
Yeah.
Right? Wow.
Yeah.
And of those 10 items, can you pronounce the words that are on the label? Right.
I definitely can't.
Right. So that's a wellness wake-up call, because what we want is people to eat food that have simple ingredients, right? If you grill a piece of chicken, have some broccoli, and bake a potato, there's no ingredients, right? There's no ingredients to it at all.
Right. It hasn't been processed or anything.
Correct, and that's the kind of foods that we need to get back to eating. And I'm not saying it's realistic to think that we could have every meal be like that, but certainly we can make an attempt to try to make a few meals a week like that, right? So the movement side, which was so crucial that you said about we're sitting more, is remember we used to have to move as a race, as a people, we used to have to move to kill our food and to harvest our food. So we used our bodies to get the stuff that nourish us.
Yeah.
All right. So there were no health clubs, no gyms. If people were physically fit because they had to work it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So now when we're sitting, not only are we sitting at work, but we're sitting on the way to work, and then we get to work and we take the elevator instead of the stairs, or we get to the airport and we take the escalator or the moving sidewalk instead of moving our bodies through space, right?
That's true.
And as we do that, our waist size gets bigger as a country.
Yeah.
We get more more preventable illnesses that are, listen, these are life-threatening illnesses that are largely a result of the environment that we put ourselves in regards to diet and activity.
Right. And yeah, I think it's this modern lifestyle, you know, that leads us to do this. And that's why we need to stop and realize that human beings, you know, that's one thing about the body. It's like the less you use it, the less in shape it is. You know, it's like, you know,
100%. And you know, it's funny you say that, because I talk to my patients about this all the time. I use the analogy of our bodies are like boats. If you ever owned a boat or know anybody that's owned a boat, you never get on the boat as much as you think you're gonna.
Right.
So the boat stays parked. The boat stays parked for several months. What happens when you go to try to start the engine? It doesn't start.
Right.
Because it needs to run, right? So our bodies need to run. I'm not talking about run outside. I'm saying our bodies need to be moving through space in order to function at a high level. And the longer we sit, the more we sit, the less flexible we get. Not only that, from a musculoskeletal standpoint, from a cardiovascular standpoint, I told you I referenced the book pretty well, and right after the book was finished and sent to the publisher, I continually read articles and literature on health and wellness, and I found one that I was like, I wish I would have I wish I would have found this earlier. It was brand new, and I couldn't get in the book, but there was a Harvard study that did a study on sedentary lifestyle, and the doctors that wrote this study, their conclusion was that sitting is today's smoking.
Wow.
Wow, that's powerful words.
Like, yeah. That's how bad it is for you to be sitting all day long, right? It clogs up your arteries because you're not moving, your blood's not pumping, so it has a dramatic effect on us. And I mean, what do most people do all day long, right? They sit.
That's true, yeah. And when you sit and smoke, it's twice as bad.
Oh my gosh, then you forget it, right? But I like to, when I talk about the book, I like to be clear that, you know, it's not an exercise book and it's not a diet book. It's really a lifestyle book. So
right.
I have a chapter in the end towards the end of the book that is a chapter on relationships and how that affects your wellness, and a chapter on spirituality and how that affects your well-being. So it's pretty well-rounded, you know?
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, everything that happens in your life affects you in some way. So you addressed all of these things in the book. We're speaking with David Barczyk. The book is Wellness Wake Up Call. Now, I discovered you also have a website, All in Wellness, right?
That's correct.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, All in Wellness is one of the companies that I am part of. It's a corporate wellness solution company. So I use that, and the book is listed on there as well. So we try to provide industry and businesses with wellness solutions on site to get their employees well and help, help people be more productive in the workplace. Because, listen, sick people,
they cost
more
money.
Work, they're less productive, and at the end of the day, it ends up costing not only the individual person money, but it costs the company money as well. So the whole country is better off if we get back to being just a little bit more fit than we are now.
That's true, yeah.
It says on the website that you practice what you preach and you stay healthy and you exercise 4 to 5 times a week. That's pretty, I mean, to say that you've written a book, you have a website, you have 4 locations of your chiropractic practice. How do you find time for everything?
You know, one of the posters we make for All in Wellness for the company is a poster that we put these posters around companies that hire us to change their culture, and one of them is there's 1,440 minutes in a day.
Yeah.
Find 30 minutes to do something, right? I mean, so
right.
So when you look at it in terms of there's that many minutes in a day, and when you hear I can't find time to go 30 minutes for a walk, or I don't even advocate people join a gym necessarily. But it's making fitness and wellness a priority in your life, just like having lunch is, like, or having dinner is, or it needs to become part of your day. Because, and I hear a lot, well, I can't afford to eat well, or I can't afford a gym membership. I'm like, look, you're either going to pay for it now in the activity that you do, or you're going to pay for it later in life.
Right.
With your healthcare costs, and I promise you, it's going to be more expensive.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to cost you, right? Either way, it's going to cost you, and it's just prioritizing. You know, the people that, and I'm not here to beat anybody up or to single anybody out, but smokers spend a lot of money on smoking, right?
That's true.
So when smokers say I can't afford to eat, I'm going, man, it's $5 for a pack of cigarettes. You're smoking a pack of 2 a day. You find time and energy and resources for the things that you put value on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't value your health when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s, then you're going to pay for it.
Later
exponentially
on.
Higher right. When you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's going to come out of somewhere, right?
Right.
So I try to, you know, I do. I try to make it a part of my day 4 to 5 days a week. My workouts are 45 minutes to an hour at the most, an hour, because I don't have the time. You know, I mean, but I make sure I get something in to where I feel like, okay, you know, I did something today. And that's only a small part of it. It's the dietary part. It's the
exactly. It's everything put together. It's not just one of the elements.
Yeah, two chapters in my book about brain function and how you can stimulate your brain health and how that has a huge impact on what's your lifestyle going to be like, especially later in life, because very many of the disease processes that are life-threatening and debilitating at the end of our life are diseases of brain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
So Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, and the evidence is stronger and stronger every day that those things are preventable when we live our lives in an appropriate manner early on.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense, you know, it really does. And especially now, I think, you know, our generation now, we live a lot longer than previous generations and stuff. And so we're more prone, I think, to developing disease and all that because, you know, I think maybe the body wasn't originally meant to handle our lifestyle, you know, the way we live today.
Yeah, so. Well, no doubt. And I think there's no doubt that modern medicine has lengthened the course of human life. But I will argue that the quality of life is not as good as it used to be a generation ago. Even though we're living longer, the years we're getting are not quality years, and it's largely due to the way that we live them early on. So I think, the things that modern medicine does as far as technology and saving people's lives once they're sick and dying is unbelievable, and that's where modern medicine is the best.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, the talk needs to be how do we not get into this catastrophic event? How do we live our lives in a way? And that's where medicine doesn't really focus. That they're more of a hey, this is broken this way, and we can fix it like this.
Right.
Right. So I'm on the front end. We're trying to get people on the front end of that to say, do you know that you can preserve your brain cells longer by doing these certain activities, and you're less likely to get Alzheimer's disease later in life if you cut out the saturated fats, you exercise, and you do some brain-stimulating activity. Not hard stuff to do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. That makes sense. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I think we get so caught up in our lives, we don't think about these things, you know?
And you're right when you say that there are 30 minutes to work out.
Right.
It's often, I mean, I'm me too. I'm like, oh, I don't have time to work out today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, and I'm not even saying you have to go sweat, but go for a walk. And if you're so busy that you don't have time to go for a 30-minute walk, then just park your car further away at work, right? I mean, when you get to work, take the steps. Don't get on the elevator. You know, take a break from your computer and walk a lap around the building. Get back to work. I mean, there's so many ways to integrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if you do it all at once or if you do it collectively throughout the day, as long as you get that 30 minutes in, you know, at least.
And the book is Wellness Wake-Up Call, which totally makes sense because I think we're all sort of dormant in our really thinking about how we live our lives. I know I am. And this is definitely a wake-up call, you know. So
yeah, and we're all busy, right? So the idea behind the book is I'm not trying to be critical of people. I know that everybody's busy. You're working. You're taking the kids here and there, and what we do as humans is we typically worry about ourselves last, especially a mom or a dad that is, I got to get my kids here, I got to do this, do that, I got to go to work, and I got to pay the taxes, and boom, 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 you know what I mean? Before you know
it,
you're tired, it's the end of the day, but if we don't create an awareness and some urgency about all this, you know, you can change your tires on your car. You can change your brakes on your car. You can change the engine on your car. Man, you only got one. You only got one. You right.
That's
so. Mm-hmm. And we tend to take care of our things better than we take care of our own persons. And my goal is to get people super acutely aware that they're in control of how they live their life at the end of their life. It's not up to your genes. You know, a lot of people will blame, we always blame our mom and our dad for everything, right? If we get all of our negative aspects, oh, it was my mom, my dad, it's in the genes.
Right.
But I mentioned that in the book. There's a book about,
chapter
about epigenetics, which is the study of how our genes are expressed. And basically what the research is showing is that your environment plays a bigger role than your genetic makeup.
Mm, wow.
Right. So the analogy I use an analogy and a quote in the book. I'm a quote guy, so I sprinkle quotes throughout the book about what I'm trying to say. And your genes load the gun, but your environment pulls the trigger.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right? That's it's true. Interesting to think about, because I've never thought about it like that. That it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It's like, and with everything else too, you know, it's like we blame our parents for the way we turned out and everything. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that this is what happened to you until now, but you can decide, you know, how you're going to move forward with that. And
not only
charge.
That, but for your future generations, right? If a mom and a dad change the way that they live, their kids and their grandkids think of the forward impact you can have just on activity and diet, on what the rest of your generation and your offspring are going to how they're going to live their lives. I mean, those choices you make every day add up in little pieces, you know, and you see it all day long where people, you know, in what they eat and what they do, but it's without a thought, you know? So it's being in the conscious brain, getting out of your unconscious brain where you're running on autopilot and getting into the conscious moment and saying, you know, I have control over this and I can control from here forward and own that. And that's what I'm trying to get people to do.
Sounds good.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
David Barczyk, the book is Wellness Wake Up Call. Tell people how they can get the book.
Well, the book is will be out on Amazon in June, so we're doing like a little a preamble here, and it'll be in Barnes & Noble in June. So if you go Amazon in June, Wellness Wake Up Call, or you can go to my website, allinwellness.com, and read more about the book and about what All in Wellness is about.
Right, and the website is rich with information, and definitely for businesses that are looking to improve the health of their employees and stuff, this is the website to go to. David, thank you so much for all this wealth of information. It's definitely a wake-up call for me. So
thank you.
Yeah, so
well, thank you guys. I appreciate you for having me and accommodating me, and I'm sorry I couldn't be with you guys last week in person.
That's okay, no problem. As long as you're feeling better, that's all that matters.
Oh yeah, it's all good.
Okay, David, thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye bye. Wow, it's a lot to think about, you know.
It is, and I really don't think. I mean, when I'm consuming alcohol, I'm not a big drinker, but when I do or eat, my weakness is fast food.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of fast food. I just love it.
Yeah.
And it's so cheap. But it's so bad for you.
It really
and I don't
is.
Think about the consequences later in life.
Right. That's
and
true.
And I've stopped drinking soda, and my complexion is so much better.
Wow.
And it's just
really?
Little things that is making me realize more and more, I have to start eating better.
Yeah.
And it's what you put in your body is how you what you get out.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. But, it's a lifestyle, you know. I mean, I don't live a very healthy lifestyle. I also sit around mostly, but I don't eat, you know, but I don't fatten myself with food. So it sort of balances itself out. But as far as activity, I definitely feel that, you know, you need to do some activity, you know, you need to be moving. And it's interesting because, you know, with machines and stuff, it's like the more, I don't know, my headphones are killing me here.
Yeah, mine just went funny.
Yeah, are you there it is. Now it's back. I don't know what's going on, but we're good now. So, you know, like machines, it's like the more you use it, the more likely it is to break down, you know, because mm-hmm. it wears out. But with the body, it's the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
The more you use it, the better shape you are in, you know.
Yeah, you have to keep doing activity. And it's right, even a walk, a 30-minute walk is better. And that makes me feel better because when I waitress, I'm constantly like,
that's
boom,
walking,
boom, boom,
right.
boom, 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 really fast. So that makes me feel a bit better about myself.
Yeah, your job doesn't require you to sit around and stuff. Yeah.
But for some people that are sat at a desk, just getting up, walking around the building or something during a break, that's such a good idea because you don't think of doing that. But then at the time, it's like, oh, I can just stay sat down. Or
yeah, that's true. Or if you don't like walking, get yourself a bicycle or something, you know, and ride a bike. And that's fun, you know. I mean, in the afternoon, in the evening.
It is, and especially when you live somewhere beautiful like Los Angeles.
Right, exactly.
You can go to the beach and ride a bike.
Yeah.
It's just stunning here.
I know. So I'm going to maybe start doing that. I mean, I bought this great bike years ago. I used to take it to the beach and stuff and ride around the neighborhood. And then I stopped, and it's just sitting there, you know, collecting mm-hmm. dust and rust and stuff. So I definitely need to start thinking about
that. Get back on the bike.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I got to do something too, because I do sit around a lot, you know, I have to admit. So anyway, that's that. Well, talking about health, I guess another cruise ship, there's a virus outbreak and stuff. So they're saying about 83 people are sick on a Princess Cruise Line ship.
Princess Cruise Line?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Really?
No.
Oh, because they're centered out from here, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so maybe you haven't been familiar with them. But in fact, well, this was before your time, but they used to have a show called The Love Boat. And that was on a Princess ship, I remember. So, yeah, those take off from L.A. I don't know if they have any routes anywhere else, but they do here. So
that's crazy that so many people are getting sick off these cruises, because when you go on a cruise, it's a time, it's holiday, it's vacation.
Yeah,
you go to have fun, eat a lot, and just relax. And what is it that gets the people sick? Is it the food?
Yeah.
Or?
You see, that's what you have to wonder. But they're saying it's a virus, you know, or they call it a norovirus, whatever that is. But apparently, you know, maybe it's just because there's so many people, you know, in one place and stuff. And you're like in intimate quarters with everybody and stuff. So maybe that causes it as
maybe.
Well.
Maybe. And when you are so close to people, that's when you get each other sick and you
exactly. I mean, every time I go on a plane, I get sick. I mean, think of all the sick people in there, and they're circulating the air and you breathing it. You know, almost every time I get on a plane, I get sick. You
the
know?
Norovirus is a most common cause of upset stomach.
Okay. So it is a virus, but it probably spreads, you know, so they, I guess they, isolated the people, you know, and
that's no
so
fun on
spread.
Holiday
I know
but you have to protect everyone else but how do you get that under control? And I mean, it's strange because when I go on holiday I wouldn't tell anyone that I tell my family that I had an upset stomach, but
right.
How are they finding out that they have this many people that has an upset stomach?
Yeah,
I guess the doctor, maybe a lot of people are going to the doctor or
I think they're still at sea, that's what I think, you know, so they haven't come back, but I guess they have like they coordinate with the Center for Disease Control and stuff, so they know how to slow the spread of the disease or something.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
They get instructions and stuff. So, more than 3,000 passengers on that ship, you know. So,
wow,
that's a lot of people to put together.
A lot of people.
So, I guess 66 passengers and 17 crew members came down with it. And
I got you. I was thinking 3,000 got sick. And
I know that's what you may have thought, but
that's how many people are total.
Yeah,
and then,
on the ship.
Okay,
right. And then about 83 people got sick.
Got sick. Right. Wow.
I know. It. Nothing better. I mean, nothing to ruin your vacation like something like that. You know?
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's the last thing you want. I would want a free cruise.
Yeah.
I'd be complaining. I got it from my mom. I'm such a complainer.
Really?
I'm the person that calls and calls and calls till I get. And I'm like, can I speak to your manager? Can I speak to your manager? Because I hate when something's not right. I can't think of an example. Well, take my phone bill, for example, how I go over my gigabytes of data in 2 days. It's impossible.
Huh? Wow.
Absolutely impossible. And it happens every month. And I call AT&T every month. And I'm like, can I speak to your manager? Because no one is doing anything.
Right.
So I'm that complainer.
Yeah.
I call after and I'm just like, this wasn't right. But I get that from my mom completely.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see you like that at all.
Oh my gosh. She was, when I think it was because when I was growing up, she would always write letters.
Yeah.
Always. After vacation, if something wasn't right or something, I don't know. But she would just always write letters.
Wow.
So I think it's just been drilled into my brain. If something's not right, when you're paying a lot of money for something, that's not okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a complainer. I'm one of those annoying people.
That's funny. So, well, yeah, I mean, if you go on a ship, you get sick, that's a good reason to complain, you know?
Yeah, because you're not supposed to. But I'm sure the complaints are probably the least of their worries right now.
I'm sure. Wow. And you're stuck on a ship. You can't go anywhere, you know?
And I think when I'm sick and the boat rocking from side to side, an upset stomach with a rocking boat, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. So I guess the other day David Letterman announced his retirement.
I know,
next year.
Another late night talk show leaving.
Yeah. But I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. You know what, like 30 years, maybe 25, 30 years? Yeah. So how can he do the same thing for so many years? I have no idea.
But he must really love it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, I guess being David Letterman and being famous and rich and all that stuff is not such a bad motivator, you know?
Right.
Yeah, to continue doing this. So they've considered a lot of new hosts, and I guess Stephen Colbert got it. And have you heard of him, Stephen Colbert?
No.
Yeah, I've heard of him, but I've never seen him in action. He's got a TV show and all these things, but why would they pick him out of like millions of other
who
people?
Who else? Do you know who else?
Oh.
I heard Chelsea Lately was.
Yeah, she was too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chelsea Handler is her name.
Yeah,
Chelsea
Handler, not right. Her show is Chelsea Lately.
Yeah, exactly. So I know my daughter is crazy about that show. She went to see it recorded a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
She likes it, yeah.
I went to Jimmy Kimmel. That was a lot of fun.
Really?
I really liked Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. But they move him. Oh, is he still in LA? He did move to New York, right?
No, he's still in LA. He's on Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty cool. So, I guess Steve Colbert is on Comedy Central and things like that, you know, so.
It's not a huge gig, though. I feel like when they give, who's the latest one that just retired?
Jay Leno?
Yes.
Yeah.
And who took, I can't even think.
What's his name?
But it was a big, he had his own show, he left his own show for this.
Right.
I feel like it's a lot of shoes to fill.
Right.
And do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's
I do.
A lot that comes with this, and it has to be someone who's really going to be good for the part. And I feel like someone with a bigger following maybe and a bigger presence.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm not much to talk, but I just haven't heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have Jimmy Fallon who replaced Jay Leno.
That was it. Right. Yeah. And see, Jimmy Fallon, huge name.
Yeah.
Huge name. And that right. I think that was the perfect person to step into those shoes and take over.
Yeah, that's true, you know. But I guess Colbert is pretty famous too, pretty popular. So I'm sure they wouldn't have taken a step like this.
It's a huge step. I'm sure there was a lot that went into it and a lot of thought and because it's a huge decision.
It is. It's a big show.
It's a big show. Very popular show.
Right.
So they need somebody who's going to fill the shoes. Yeah. So I'm sure a lot went into it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they know something we don't, you know. But but that's when I thought when they had Piers Morgan join CNN. And then I just thought they probably know what they're doing because I can't stand the guy. And
I've never liked him since he did the very first Pop Idol. So the very first the very first one of this kind of show in England. And I hated him from that.
Really?
I've hated him ever since. I just don't like the way... Because Simon Cowell was always the big energy, the one that could get away with saying the controversial stuff that everyone else was thinking. And Piers Morgan and another guy called Stephen Waterhouse, they kind of just jumped on the bandwagon a little bit. But they were just kind of cruel.
Yeah.
But Piers Morgan, I mean, his reputation in America isn't that great anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, when one person on the very first show that you see them on, I mean, I was probably 12 years old, and I just haven't liked him since.
Wow. I know.
He hasn't been able to change my mind.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's got that smirk. I think he has, like, this condescending attitude, and it comes across, you know, and I never liked him. I was surprised they added him to CNN, but now he's gone. So
yeah.
I'm happy about that. But
he's one of those people that you either love or hate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a big decision. I'm sure they knew. I hope they knew what they were talking about when they took on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But yeah, I think he's got like political humor and things like that, you know. But
yeah, so that's, never, yeah.
Yeah, I never
that's
saw him.
That's a positive.
Never saw him, but yeah, comedian supposedly, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's also, this was an interesting story, although very depressing one, I think. But this woman, she's 22 years old, and she became a pimp using underage teens to lure and rob clients. So what she would do is she would advertise, you know, she has like young girls and things like that, and when the guys would come over, she would rob them and stuff, you know. But they're saying that you know, that 16-year-old girls were forced to perform sex and things like that. So
that's crazy, though, because you wouldn't think that when men are coming over that a female could rob them.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you would think that there's some power
and
strength issues.
I know. But maybe, you know, she just made him feel like trapped or something.
Comfortable, maybe, too. And she rubs them in a way that they didn't really know.
And not only that, but, well, maybe she just asked him for the money and stuff, but I think... Who would go to the police saying I was robbed because I went to have sex with a teenage girl?
Right, because then that's illegal.
Right, exactly.
So then you're pretty much dropping yourself in it.
Exactly. So that's why often when you steal or commit crime against someone else who does crime, then...
It stays quiet.
Yeah, you know, they don't say anything, you know. So, and especially...
That's sad because you don't... Like the fact that she was using young children and... Young children, especially people that maybe don't have father or mother figures that are really there in their lives, get roped into these things, and it's very sad.
Yeah, yeah. We got to protect our children, and there's all these perverts that prey on our kids, you know, and it's just like... What they don't understand is all it takes is one experience for a teenager to be ruined for life.
Uh-huh. And this, I mean, there's so many abduction stories and everything. Just there's so much these days that are tainting young children's minds and making them, they're having to mature mentally a lot quicker than they need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the situations that they've been put in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, young kids are just not prepared for these things, especially when they're like forced into it, you know.
Definitely.
So so that's sad, but she's in custody and everything, so I guess that's okay. Okay, so that's the end of the show, Charlotte. You're going to be out tomorrow, so we won't have a live show, but we'll be back
on
Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday is Passover Eve, so... There's going to be like feast at night and things like that. But nevertheless, we'll be here, always here.
We will.
And we'll see you all on Monday.
Have a good weekend.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.